Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. As we have observed to you in times past, and I want to remind you of it again tonight, some passages of the Scripture are very crucial passages, and they have a lot of deep thoughts in them, and we cannot handle them on a very simple basis. It takes time to go over these things. Sometimes in the church, we have been accustomed to passing over some of these deeper concepts too quickly, and people misunderstand what it's all about. And I want you to understand what the Bible is saying. So if I have to stop and take time to go over these things very carefully, remember that we're mining for gold sometimes. Again, I could use an analogy of the archaeologist over in the Middle East excavating ruins. And when they get down to the real pay dirt, as we may say, where they're finding the actual artifacts, they sometimes have to work with a camel's hair brush to dig in the dirt. That is, they have to work so slowly and so carefully because they might break something that's extremely valuable, put a shovel through a vase or something, and so they have to get down and work with the fine camel's hair brushes, just taking very fractional inches of dirt away at a time. Well, now, in the Scripture, we have tremendous treasures. And if it takes time to mine them, to get them out a little at a time, then we have to do that. All right, we are going on to the 17th verse. We had just picked up the phrase that Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him, neither know him." All right, now we've got to take a look at this because we have here the most crucial concept of the Christian since the death of Christ, in addition or beside the matter of the death of Christ, and that is the coming of the Holy Spirit. The reason that is such a crucial matter is that it is only through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine that we are able to identify ourselves with Christ. And it is the Holy Spirit who is working in your life to make changes that are necessary. It is not your knowledge of Christ that is bringing about the changes. The knowledge of Christ gives you much information you need to help you, but the changes take place by the action of the Holy Spirit taking or being within you as Christ, you see. You have to know that Christ is within you. We spend a lot of time here trying to help you understand how it is that Christ is within you and who it is that is within you. But that has to be made real to you by the action of the Holy Spirit. It's a simple thing, and you do not have to read a theology book on the Holy Spirit to handle this, to have it. If you love someone very much, you have some love in your heart for that person. You do not need to read a philosophy book on the subject of love in order to have that experience. And now, in an even more remarkable sense and a more perfect sense, the Holy Spirit is functioning within your heart from the moment that you ask Him to come in. And in spite of things that you say or think or feel, His work is going on within you. Remember, I've said to you many times, if it were dependent upon your understanding of theology or mine, as much as I've studied theology, if it still was dependent upon my understanding of it, it would be a very ineffective thing, because I don't understand much either. I've studied it all these years, and I don't understand much. The more you learn, the less you know. It's sort of an inverse ratio. The more you realize how little the human being really knows. But the Holy Spirit works away inside of you in spite of the fact that you don't know. And I've used the analogy, and it's a very good one, about electricity. These lights are going here tonight, lighting up the room, and we're all enjoying it, and they're very useful to us, but not many of us really know too much about electricity. We have a few technicians here with us that are, have made their study in electricity. We enjoy the lights. They keep burning away. They don't flash on and off depending on how we hold in our mind the knowledge of electricity. They don't flash on brighter when we think we know more about electricity and dim out when we think we know less. Now, the same is true with the work of the Spirit. Your task or your responsibility is merely to receive the Spirit into your heart. It's His task to bring about the conditions of growth. Now, we were talking with one of the young men, and I'm not going to name him, but he's here, and he probably won't mind my using this illustration, concerned about growth. How can I grow? How can I be more like the Lord wants me to be, and so forth, and getting a little impatient about it. And so I said, well, do you think you are different now than you were when you first got saved? And he says, before you were saved? And he said, oh, yes, very, very much different. I said, well, I guess you can trust the same Spirit to keep working on you now, can't you? And Paul has a verse for this. He says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? If the Lord has brought you this far, really by His own work and not yours, can't you trust Him to take you on further? Do we now abandon that special help and miracle and strike out on our own to try to be holy, to try to be changed? No, we just go along as we have before, trusting the Spirit of Christ, fellowshipping with Him, staying with Him, holding steady, and we let His Spirit keep bringing about the changes that we need to make. And we don't get impatient about it. We just keep going steady, steady as she goes. And you will pass up in the future, you will pass up those people that make great jackrabbit leaps forward. They go to some meeting and they make some great consecration. All of a sudden they're 10 miles down the road, they think they are. Pretty soon, you're passing them up. You've been just chugging along day by day, trusting the Lord. A certain individual got off into some very bright operation some years ago. It was an intriguing thing, and he got off into it, a religious group. This is about 15 years ago. I was talking to the person about the thing he was in and trying to show the problems with it. This is what's wrong with that situation. Well, he didn't see it that way. He said, your problem is you just haven't had the revelation yet. Okay. So with that, he severed relationships with us completely. He said, too bad, we can't go on together. Well, just this weekend, we got together, and he has now left that thing, and he was sitting there telling me all the reasons why he left it. And I'd already told him that 15 years ago. I didn't say I told you so. A little more grace than that. I might have said that a while ago. I might not have. But I learned a few things, too. But anyway, but you know, I was really glad, and I didn't spoil the thing at all. I was just, gee, that's marvelous that you saw that. Got a lot of insight there. but maybe he's wasted. Oh, I don't say he's wasted, but he's certainly shot down a lot of years that he might have not had to go that route, you see. I encourage you not to be thrown by people that are jackrabbiting ahead. You have friends that get off into something and they come to you and they say, oh, this is the most wonderful thing. We never lived till we got into this. And now it's, and this is the whole thing. You see, if you haven't got this deal, you're just not with it. Well, don't pay any attention to them. Just chug along day by day. Trust the Lord. Learn to live. Learn just how to get along with life. Learn about how to have a wholesome life. Sometimes spiritual problems may be really only a matter of getting enough sleep. You think it's a spiritual matter. Maybe it's just taking care of your body a little bit. Maybe you wouldn't have such ornery ideas if you take care of yourself. A lot of your thought processes are affected by the way you eat. Now, we've had lots of information from the medical world on this subject, and one of the recent surveys in the LA school system showed that a lot of the attitudes of the young people, the sort of rebel, antagonistic attitudes that they were coming to school with, were related to the fact that they were not eating breakfast. And a lot of them were related to the fact that the cafeterias were serving a lot of the junk foods that had artificial chemicals in them, colorings and food dyes and food flavorings and so forth. So the county of Los Angeles changed the diet, or changed the things they were selling there at the school. They decided no longer to sell foods that had these artificial flavors in them and artificial colorings in them, because it was affecting the mental attitude of the students. Now, if that august body will make that kind of decision, because they're really, that's pretty remarkable that they would be that bright about the whole thing. Usually they're not that insightful about those kinds of things. But what I'm saying about that is this. People talk about spiritual growth, and they try to get everything by some trip to the altar somewhere, some quick shot in the arm of religious fervor. And maybe it's just a matter of living properly, just tending to the business of living. If you get such an identity with Christ that you can proceed with your normal daily life, take enough time to eat and to sleep and to be concerned about others and to get your work done and to be responsible. All of these are simple matters, but you just tend to the business of your life and let the Holy Spirit tend to the business of bringing you spiritual growth. If you start pushing on it, I've said this many times, you start fussing with your faith, just pushing on it, trying to be spiritual, trying to be holy, trying to be religious, you'll let the other things go, and you're going to lose both. Because any kind of spiritual growth you get on a forced basis is going to be, at best, artificial, and at worst, detrimental to you. So, enjoy your life with Christ. I mean by that, be grateful to have Christ in your life with you. Trust that He's going to work your life out for you in His own time and in His own way, and be at peace. Now, if you do not get spiritual food, you cannot expect spiritual growth. If you do not get food for the physical, you cannot expect physical growth in the same wholesome way that as you would if you ate properly. So now the person who does not eat properly and then wrings their hands and moans and groans because they're not getting the proper physical growth or physical development is very foolish. I had people, young people, come in to talk with me, and they're got this problem, that problem. I start talking about their diet, and it's nowheresville. You know, it's nothing. Their diet is terrible. It would kill any normal person. And of course, these young people have lots of reserve energy and a lot of things going for them, and they don't feel it till they get to be about 30 years old or so. Then it all of a sudden catches up with them. But right now, you know, they don't think of those things. The diet is terrible. And so I've had to say, well, let's get the diet straightened out first, and we'll talk about some of the other things, you see. Now, people live characteristically very carelessly in terms of their physical life. But if their diet is terrible, if you tell your doctor that you're eating candy bar for lunch and a salad for dinner and go without breakfast, he's not going to be surprised if you're complaining about physical problems. Okay, now take it at the spiritual level. If people don't get fellowship with Christ, that is to say, they don't spend any time at all talking with Him or fellowshipping with Him, if they don't get to hear the Word of God somewhere, doesn't have to be here, but if they don't get somewhere to hear the Word of God, if they don't get somewhere into fellowship of believers, then I can expect them to have a lot of trouble with their life. On the other hand, if they will get these normal things, these things that are just proper, wholesome dosages of fellowship and spiritual food, if they get that, I can expect, or they can expect, to be living a normal Christian life. Now, if a person is eating, let's take it at the physical level again, if a person is eating wholesome food, but at the same time they run into some food faddist or some quack doctor or something, they start getting them on to, they think, well, you're very healthy, but let's make you more healthy yet. So they start getting them on to different kinds of supplements and additional vitamins and minerals and so forth. If they don't need it, that is, if they're eating good, wholesome food, it can be that they can have a reaction. You know, you can get poisoning from an overdosage of vitamins. You got to take those vitamins carefully. And there are people who are just popping these pills all the time and having trouble from it. Now, if you are, if for one reason or another, your body is not assimilating the stuff out of the food you're eating, you may need a vitamin supplement. I'm not saying you shouldn't have it, but I can say you can get too much of it easily. Talked with a person just a Saturday that had an outbreak over all the skin, all over her body, because she had been taking overdoses of vitamins. Now, apply it spiritually. Here are people that are they're just going along, they're getting the Word, they're talking to the Lord, they're living a normal life, and somebody comes along and they've got this spiritual program for them, how to get even more spiritual, you see. They get them off on all these kooky trips, you know, of how to really be religious. And it causes a reaction. Now, all of this down to one simple point, really. When Christ rose from the dead, went back to glory, He sent His Holy Spirit, His Spirit, to dwell within all of us. And it is the power of His Holy Spirit within you that is bringing about the spiritual changes that you need. And as He brings about spiritual changes, it helps you to cope with the flesh, the natural man. Your natural man, unfortunately, is not going to be permanently changed. I say that because Paul says, "In me that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing." The natural man is a dead thing that will always be dead. It will always be a problem to you, except as you have spiritual growth that gives you the strength to cope with that unruly factor in you. You can cope with it. You can be in control of the situation. But I warn you that without this fellowship with Christ and sensitivity to Him, the flesh can rear its ugly head. You can have trouble with it. So don't think that you're going to get in a position where you've totally wiped the flesh out. Now you can just go singing down the road and you're not going to have any more trouble. Never going to lose your temper again. Never going to do this. Never tell a lie again. Some of our candidates feel that they've come to that place. But, I'm not going to mention any names, but sometimes they feel that they're that way. But I can say to you that it is not a guarantee. It's not guaranteed. And I say it to you for your comfort, because I want you to know that even if you make mistakes in the flesh, in the natural man, it isn't because you need more spirituality. You need more sensitivity to the fact that your flesh is never going to be any different. And you then try to offset that by wholesome spiritual nourishment. I have said to you before that you are free from disease not by trying to run away from bacteria, but by strengthening your physical body to combat the bacteria that is around you, because we're just surrounded, swamped by numberless, I was going to say billions, that's even inadequate, just untold numbers of bacteria or quantities of bacteria are around us constantly in the atmosphere. Now, you remain free from disease by maintaining proper levels of strength within your body. For example, proper levels of blood sugar should be up around 100 as a rate. If it drops below that, you can be in trouble, you see. Too far below that, if it gets too far above it, you can be in trouble too. But if you just maintain that, and then that means proper eating again. The best way to maintain a good level of blood sugar is to eat a fairly decent quantity of protein. Gamma glucose is the best source of sugar for the blood. Eating candy bars is a very poor way to get sugar for the blood, you see. Or, well, of course, the blood carries the sugar. It's assimilated or burned up into energy. But I won't go into that process. But I'm just saying that proper eating habits, proper health habits will keep you more free of disease than trying to run around with a gas mask on or a surgeon's mask or something and try not to breathe the germs. You never get away from the germs. If you try to get too much away from germs, you can become weak because you've got antibodies in you that should be developing strength to combat the disease. All of this in another direction, a simple direction of saying, just live normally. Trust Christ. Get some nourishment. Get some food. And realize that spiritual growth is not going to come by trying to be religious, but by trusting in Christ to bring about the changes that He wants. He may let you go through some experiences that'll teach you lessons. We all need to learn lessons. We don't like these experiences. They sometimes hit hard, but they're necessary. Even Christ, of Jesus, it was said, though He were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which He suffered. The sufferings that we have kind of batter us down a little bit. We're a little more submissive. It's easy to be hard-headed. And sometimes the Lord has to sort of knock the stuffing out of us to put us in a position where we're ready to listen to Him and to be gracious to people. If you're not gracious to people, somewhere down the line, the Lord's going to swing a 2x4 and you're going to you get hit hard enough, you're going to start learning to be considerate of other people and gracious. I remember a fellow that was in deep trouble for about 5 years. This fellow, when I first met him, was a businessman, made a lot of money, and one of the things that was a marked thing about him was his total lack of consideration for anybody but himself. That included his own family and friends. He was one of the most inconsiderate men that I ever met. And I met some pretty inconsiderate men, not to say women. But this fellow came to Christ, and then almost immediately began going through some real deep trouble. And for about 5 years, he didn't know whether he was afoot or horseback. You know, he really went through the mill. Well, I kind of lost track of him, and then he got in touch with me one day, and he was up in San Francisco, so he wanted me to come. I went up there to meet with him, and so he had now just begun to get his feet on the ground, start moving again. And I asked him a simple question. I said, tell me, what did you learn? It's about the first question I asked him. What did you learn out of this 5 years of experience? He said, well, he said, I learned to be more considerate of people. Well, he needed that. And the Lord put him through it. Now, you see, the Lord is not one whit interested in whether you and I are comfortable, but in whether we have the capacity to comfort. And He comforts you not to be comfortable, but to help you to comfort others. And the person that has a hard head is going to go swinging through life indifferent to people. Better get a helmet, because he's going to get hit if the Lord is faithful, which He is. And that's what the Lord says. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. That is, He gives a licking to it, takes you to a woodshed, and scourges every son whom He receives. What son is he whom his father chasteneth not? We can get that old back of ours up, and we get that old jaw stiffened, But it's not going to do you much good, because sooner or later he's going to crack it. if you really want him to work in your life. So you say, Lord, make me what you want me to be. Well, instead of going down on an altar somewhere and moaning about it, just go on with your life and soften up a little. know that the Lord is going to put you through the mill. He's going to soften you up. By the time he's through with you, you might be a fairly respectable citizen of heaven. If you really want that, if you really want the Lord to do this in your life, don't take the shortcut. We're in this country, we're all so taken up with instant things, instant breakfast foods and instant education, and everything has got to be instant. We want instant religion. We want an instant flash from God, and that's going to make us suddenly guiding lights in the world, angelic beings. It's not going to happen. And so just relax, be at peace, take your life a day at a time, get into the Word, get into fellowship with the Lord's people, and quit fussing with your faith. And you're going to chug along an inch at a time, but I'll tell you, one of these days you're going to be out of the mud hole, and your buddies are going to all be still in it. They'll be shouting hallelujah, but they'll be in the middle of the mud hole still. I don't mean that. I said a position. I mean that their talk is cheap. Everybody can run around shouting hallelujah, but it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to change your life and get you out of the mud hole. So let's give him that place. I think if we just take that word tonight, hold it in our hearts, it'll be worth everything to us. That's the crucial issue today in the church, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Now let's stay away from the sensational stuff, the gimmicks, the cheap shots, and let's get to the simple matter that the Holy Spirit in you is changing you in spite of all the surface flack that you're both receiving and giving out. Just be at peace. You feel bad sometimes. You say the wrong things. You talk nonsense. We all do. But in the overall picture, the Spirit of Christ is just quietly doing a work in your heart. And someday He's going to bring you through to where He wants you. Thank you, Father, for this moment together in the Word. May the peace of Christ be upon each of these who are here, and may they sense His presence within their hearts. In Christ's name, amen.